started it into a Wiltshire client.
Good morning. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, we're going to go through a few inyonim to do with Elul this morning. We're going to start off discussing some of the remozim, the simonim of Elul, some of the more famous ones, and some ideas to do with that. Then Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk a little bit about the David Hashem Oiri, the minhag of David Hashem Oiri, and maybe if it's time also to talk about the minhag of blowing the shofar during Elul. So basically, we're going to try and cover some of the minhagim and the ideas of Elul. That's going to be our aim this morning. We'll see where we go. Be'ez Hashem. So, let's start off with trying to see how many different mazim we could come up with for the word Elul. So, over to you. Any takers to give me some interesting, original, or traditional remozim for what Elul stands for? Any takers?
Ani ledoidi vedoidi li.
Thank you. So the first famous one is Ani ledoidi vedoidi li. I am to be beloved unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to me. Okay, so that's the most famous one. Now let's see how far we can go. Ina liyodai besamti lecha mokim, which is referring to imiklot. Imiklot is discussed in the Mishnah Parasha. And the pasuk says, "Ina liyodai v'samti lecha," when referring to a person having a unfortunate incident happening. It says, "Ina liyodai," it happens. "V'samti lecha mokim," and HaKadosh Baruch will give you a place to be able to run to. That's "Ina liyodai v'samti lecha." Next, let's see how many you can get. "Ish l'reyehu matanot v'yoinim." It's Rosh HaTevis Elul, and again, that's a pasuk taken from Megillah, which is talking about the idea of giving gifts. Any more?
Vosnach.
Any more? Let's see if anyone else.
Do
yeah? Vosnach.
Next one.
What else? The next one's actually brought by the Mishnah Berurah. It's much more famous than Ish l'reyehu and Ina liyodai. Es levavcha, or malach shem, es levavcha, ve es levav zarech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the mila of your hearts and the hearts of your children. Okay, so there's lots and lots of remozim. And Rav Moshe Shapiro actually speaks out that the reason why there are so many simonim is similar to the idea that you find in the parasha of there being lots of simonim for the imiklot. We say that at every single junction was halacha, you had to have signs to go to the imiklot. And he explains, why is it so important to have signs to go to the imiklot? Because it's important. So too, he says, the idea of having all of these different simonim, wherever you go, there's another simon, is in order to show you how important Elul is, and to be able to take advantage of it properly. So, the first thing we're going to do, I want to try and get through a few in yonim, the first thing we're going to do this morning is try and explain a very famous idea, but trying to explain where it comes from, an idea mentioned in the Kuti Torah, by the Alter Rebbe. He speaks about this concept, I think it's quite famous, but we're going to try and go through it step by step, of Hamelech Basodeh. Everyone heard this idea before, the concept of the king is in the field during Elul? So let's just go through the basic idea of how he builds up this idea, and what exactly it means. So, it's like this. The Arizal says that Elul is considered to be Yimei Rotzein. He says it's a time when we zeicha to a greater revelation of the Yodkim and Tzarachimim. As we know, we say Slichas in Elul, right? Our Sfadi brothers, I'm just trying to see if there's any Sfadim here, they've already started saying Slichas. Why? Because Elul is a time of greater Yimei. Okay, fine. Exactly. So the question is, this is the way he asked the question. I just want to build up this idea of how he gets to this idea of a Melech Basodeh. He asks, if so, why is it not Yom Tov? Every other time we've got like special Giluyim, special revelations, then it's a Yom Tov. He says there's no Yom Tov. There's no Itzim Halacha. So what exactly is it? What exactly is Elul? Okay, fine. He explains like this. I'm gonna bring it out with a interesting story which I came across a few years ago. Some of you may have heard the story, but I'm going to try and put it all together. Around the time of the Queen's coronation, this is going back about 3 years ago, I think it was. The Queen's Jubilee. The Queen's Jubilee. Father Patera. So it was about 3 years ago, right? Just before the Patera. Okay. So I came across a very interesting clip. And this is what the clip had. It was about a 2 minute clip. It was an interview with one of her advisors, a guy called Richard Griffin. And he was the Royal Protection Officer. So it was his responsibility to be like a shomer for the Queen. So he would walk around the Queen. So the Queen was spending some time in Balmoral. And he was walking with her through the hills of Balmoral. And they came across two Americans who were going for a hike. So this is the Queen and this Mr. Griffin. And they came across two American hikers. And they said to the Queen and to Mr. Griffin, not recognizing the Queen, they said, "We've heard that the Queen's got a holiday house near here." And they said, "Yeah, that's true." And they asked the Queen, one of them asked the Queen, and they said, "Have you ever come across her?" Don't forget, she's not dressed in her royal robes, her crown. She looks like an Altar Baba. That's what she looks like, right? An Altar Baba, probably with her son. That's what they're assuming. "Have you ever come across the Queen?" So the Queen looks at this person and said, "I've never met her, but Dick over here has met her recently." It's true. This is what Mr. Griffin said. So he said, "Well, wow." And they turned to him and said, "What, you've met her?" He said, "Yeah, I actually see her quite often." So before they knew it, one of these American tourists had grabbed this Mr. Griffin, pulled the arm around him, given the Queen the camera, and said, "Can you please take a picture of us with this man who knows the Queen?" So this is what this Mr. Griffin said, and he said the Queen never told them that she was the Queen, and they moved away, and he basically was saying that she's got a good sense of humour. These people had a grand opportunity to have a relaxing conversation with the Queen. The problem was, is they didn't seek the Queen. They didn't open their eyes and realise that the Queen was there. Complete missed opportunity. The Alter Rebbe explains, this is in the Kuti Torah. He says, you want to know why there's no Issa Malacha? You want to know why we don't wear Shabbos clothes during Elul? He said, because why do we wear Shabbos clothes? Why is there an Issa Malacha? That's when there's an official arrival of the king into the palace. And there's an official arrival of the king into the palace. Or there's an official arrival of the king into our homes. If I know, I've been told, the king's coming for his official visit at a certain time, a certain place, I've obviously got to make sure I'm not changing the light bulb at that moment. I'm obviously going to make sure that I'm dressed properly. There's an official arrival. I've been told the king's coming. I've been told probably by the king's whole entourage and all the king's advisors to do this, do that, be ready at a certain time. That is what the nature of the time is. We have Issa Malacha because it's inappropriate. We wear our Shabbos clothes because that's the appropriate dress to wear. That's not Elul. Elul is a time when the king is in the field. It's like when the queen is in the field. It's an opportunity, but it's not obvious. We haven't been sent the invitation. And therefore, we don't have Shabbos clothes. We don't have Issa Malacha to reflect that. Rather, it's our job to try and make that first step of recognizing the king. That is what Elul is. That's how the Alter Rebbe explains it. I had this experience myself a couple of years ago. During Elul, I was looking at one of the Yiddish newspapers, probably Hamidia, and I saw this picture of the vision of Tzer Rebbe and thousands of his chassidim, and them filing past for a bracha during Elul. And I was thinking to myself, that's an incredible contrast to what I had experienced the week beforehand. The week beforehand, I had punked being in Chlan Dudno, and I punked someone had come into Chabad one morning and said, the Rebbe needs a minion. And I went there, not wearing my tie, Mind you, the Rebbe wasn't very good either. But I made up a minyan with the Rebbe, and not dressed in my Shabbos clothes, no Issa Malacha, no official invitations, but an opportunity. And after davening, the Rebbe turned around and started making a conversation with a few people that were there, doing mishpachology, and everyone got a bracha afterwards and had a minute to shmooze with the Rebbe. That's what Elul is. Elul, explains the Alter Rebbe, is an opportunity. In fact, he says, Elul we know is Rosh HaTevis, Ani Ledoidi Vidoidi Li, which means the first step's from me. Ani Ledoidi, I have to make the first step, Vidoidi Li. It's not like the situation of a Yom Tov like Pesach, where there's a revelation and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming into our lives in a very obvious way, and we've been given the very, very clear invitation by the Torah saying that this is when the Yom Tov is going to be. No. This is a situation which is less obvious. I need to make that first move. I need to go towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then I'll be able to get the most out of it. So that which we say, it's a time of greater revelation of the Yud Gimel Tzarachamim, and it's a time of opportunity, it's a matter of us making that first move, which is done through us learning Moses Svarim, Machshava Svarim, Chassidus Svarim, ways of trying to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this month. So that's the basic introduction to understanding the nature of Elul. Okay. Just one more point on this before we move on to bring out again. So we've basically said the contrast between Elul and Soyam Noroyim is Elul is HaMelech Basada, which means we have to go out and seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no obvious invitation. We haven't been told to do anything. We have to go and open our eyes. Like that tourist, he had to open his eyes and recognize the queen. We have to open our eyes and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How's that done? Through us being proactive, through choosing Sarim that talk to us, so we can recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to just mention one more point regarding the chiluk between the Avodah of Elul and Yom Noroyim. A few years ago, my wife showed me a letter from one of my kids. And it was a very touching letter. And it read like this. Dear Mummy, this is how the letter read. Dear Mummy, I'm so sorry for doing X, Y, and Z. I will try not to do it again. Love the particular child. I'm not going to say the name. Love so-and-so. So she showed me this letter. And my heart melts, right? My daughter writing such a letter. Amazing. Baruch Hashem. Such nachas, incredible. What was she doing something right? I was extremely happy about it. I said to my wife, amazing. She said, the kid's gorgeous. And my wife said to me, I told her to write it. That's the difference between Elul and Yom Noroyim. Elul, we're not told to do anything. You look in the Torah, nothing. Doesn't say anywhere clearly, this is the time of doesn't say that. Elul HaMelech HaSodeh. That's the time we can write that letter of our own volition, in our own time, in our own words, find our Kodesh Baruch in our own way. Whereas Yom Noroyim, that's the time our Kodesh Baruch has made it clear to us. Got this opportunity, this is what you're supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, blow the shofar here, there, etc., etc. And that's the time our Kodesh Baruch has told us to write it. But Elul is the opportunity where we're supposed to be doing it in our own way. Okay, so that is idea number one regarding Elul. And again, that's based on Ani Ledoidi Vidoidi Li, and this idea of Elul being an opportunity of HaMelech Basadeh, where it's less clear the instructions because it's an opportunity to find a Kodesh Baruch. That is number one. Another idea of Elul, in a lot of Drush this morning, another idea of Elul, it's something the Mishnah Berurah mentions, which is Elul is Rosh HaTevis Ani Ledoidi Vidoidi Li. And the Seife Tevis, which means the last letter of each of those words of Ani Ledoidi Vidoidi Li, each one is Yud. Yud times four, Ani, Yud, Ledoidi, Yud, Vidoidi, Yud, Li, Yud. 10 times four is 40. Which is alluding to this time period that we're in from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, which says in Mishnah Berurah was the time in which Moshe Rabbeinu went to receive the second set of luchos, and these are Yimei Yimei Rachamim, the Slicha is the time when we're supposed to be trying to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the B'nai Yisoscha says some beautiful ideas regarding the number 40. He says, you'll find in the Torah the number 40 is always the number for transition. It's always the number of change. Again, during this time, we're trying to change. We're trying to do teshuva, become better people. We're trying to change. He says 40 is always the number of change. Where do we see this? Any helpers? Where do we see 40? The Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain, in order to make the world a place which is ra'oi to receive the Torah. So that's the transition. Where else? Noach, Mavel. In order to make the world into a place which is able to continue.
We found the 40
Masoros. Yeah, 40 Masoros. What else? 42. Okay, what else? Sorry?
Where's the boy Mekenu?
40 years in the Midbar, in order to make Klal Yisrael be a nation that worthy of going into Eretz Yisrael. There's more obvious ones. There's also the 40 Sa'ar in the Mikvah. There's also, we say, that the Vlad, the fetus, Chazal tell us, is formed in 40 days. 40 is always the number of transition, of something changing. We also find that the translation of the letter Mem is from, may this to that. Mem is always changing. That's what the sugar is, always changing. Ben Avraham Rabina, okay, you can probably develop that as well. Yeah. B'nai Yisrael takes it a step further. He says something absolutely beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the same sort of idea. Same sort of idea. B'nai Yisrael takes it a step further. He says, Azoi. He says, we find Chazal, Talmud Bavli. Okay, let's take a step by step. In the halachas of bittul, that means the halachas of something being bottled with roif. So a typical example is, you've got a little piece of, little drop of milk that falls into your fleshik cholent. Then the halacha is, then as long as it's the milk is less than a 60th, so let's say it's 100th, then it's going to be bottled b'shishim. It's as if it's not there. Just for the sake of today's exercise, let's speak out, that it's as if it changes and becomes part of the kosher and food. That's what the idea, general idea of bittul b'shishim is. But Chazal talk about beria, an entire item, is not a bottle. Chazal's expression is beria afilu be'elef le bottle. So you've got an entire insect, for example, which falls into a food. It's not a bottle. You can never eat that. Even if it's a tremendously big pot, irrelevant. It will not be a bottle. However, what's less well known is Yushalmi. Yushalmi says that although it's true that berry is not bottled with shishim, but it is bottled in 960. Good, that's the punchline. The barrier is bottled in 960. What's 960? So, explains the Mepharshim, the B'nai Soscha amongst them, the 960 is the Schwitz number regarding things changing. Because we know a mikveh is made up of 40 sa'ar, but really every sa'ar is a 24 lug, and that altogether is 960. So the number 960 is actually, in the world of bittul, a greater potential to mevatel than even 60. 60 is one level of bittul changing something, but 960, that's the Schwitz level of bittul. And therefore, that's why a barrier came bottom 960. But listen to this. If you think about it, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, 40 days, and it's how many hours are there in every day? 24. That's 960. There's 900, one second. There's 24 log in each sub. And there's also 24 hours in each day, and there's 40 days. That means that the time from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur is 960 hours, which is like a mikveh. And in fact, that's what Rabbi Kiva very famously says at the end of Masechet Yomah. He says, "Ma mikveh metayas atameim, after Kodesh Baruch Hu metayas Yisrael." He's talking about Yom Kippur. That by the time you get to Yom Kippur, you're at a stage where You should have been through this Mikvah Yisrael. He says, Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. The experience of being with their Kaddish Baruch is the Mikvah for Klal Yisrael. Being with their Kaddish Baruch is Klal Yisrael's Mikvah. So what that means is that we are now going through in time what a Mikvah is in water. And therefore we've got to try and chaperine the opportunity as much as possible. That's what the Bnei Sasa speaks out. He also speaks out that Tishri, which is where we get to this climax of this mikvah, Tishri itself is Gematria 960. Again, Lo'oyave Gematrius, how does this work? You're going to say Tishri is not Gematria 960. Rather, it's Gematria 910. Okay, good, we've got some Gematria people over here. But Bnei Sasa speaks out that when you have Nekudas, each Nekudah, each dot is like a Yuz, which is 10. And therefore, Tishri has got 5 Nekudas in it. Because you got the Chirik under the Tof, you got, right, you got 5 Nekudas, which takes you from 910 to 960. We'll do one more on this, just the last part, which is, do you know what else is Gematria 960? Beis HaMedrash. That means the way for a person to experience this 960 properly is through Limud HaTorah. It doesn't quite work though. Beis HaMedrash is actually 961. So I wanted to say, Faket, Beis HaMedrash in the Kodol. Beis HaMedrash for the Kodol. I meant to sit in the Kodol for the whole of Elul. I said, but it still doesn't work. Because the Kodol is actually over here the wrong way around. You can only have a Kodol if you've got a word on each side. But over here, this is trying to get the word Beis HaMedrash, which is 961, against the number 960, and therefore Kodol's not going to help you. But anyway, some leave out the whole idea of Kodol. They just say you're allowed to be one out with Kodol. Gematrias, if you can be one out with Gematrias, then you're going to be okay. Okay, so let's just recap what we said regarding Elul so far. Yes. I'll see if we've got time for one more idea. So again, it's been a drush morning. Complete drush morning. So again, number one, we discussed the idea of Elul, of this remez of Elul, of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, it being a time of us trying to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu when it's less obvious, but it's actually more accessible than ever. So that's obvious in the sense that we haven't been told clearly this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's accessible, but he is actually accessible. That's the idea of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, me making the first step. And even though I'm wearing my regular weekday clothes, and even though there's no malacha, Hagufa, that is the avoid at the time. And it's a matter of me saying I'm sorry without being told by the parents, so to speak. As opposed to the avoid of the Yom Nirah, and of course there's a tremendous revelation on Kodesh Baruch Hu, but that's where it's been told. That's when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in the palace, so to speak. And everyone's there. And also we've mentioned this idea of 960. Let's do one more idea of... Let's do the David Hashem Oiri, just very, very quickly. So the David Hashem Oiri, where there's a minute to say the David Hashem Oiri, Mishnah Berurah brings it down, of saying the David Hashem Oiri... Boiker, the Erev, in the morning and the evening. We know there's different minhagim, what exactly Erev is. Typically speaking, Nusach Ashkenaz will do it by Mariv, Nusach Sfad will do it by Mincha. Okay. Now, just interesting, what's very interesting is the following. Fascinating is the following. That I remember a few years ago, the first time I came across this, probably about 10 years ago, a friend of mine Chassidish guy, he asked me if I say L'David, and I said yes, and he was very surprised, because my Masorah in Tefillah is Chabad, and he said to me, what, really? Chabad say L'David? I said, sure. I said, who doesn't say L'David? And he said to me, he doesn't say L'David. So I wanted to try and understand where this came from. So I did a little bit of research, small amount of research, and the following came out. That is taka true. There's many chassidim that say it. I don't think Ropshitz don't say it. Zitashev don't say it. Baba, Sanz. Many chassidim do not say it. I saw this morning in Piskei Teshuvah that they bring down the Yiddish Kaddish didn't say it, and the Chayyim didn't say it. Lots of chassidish rebbes didn't say it. What's pshat? So very big kitzah. We've got about 3 minutes. Very big kitzah. I saw this in Piskei Teshuvah, and I saw this in the past as well. I saw this in Pesachim, so Moshe Habersham says that the reason why many don't say it is because they say that the first place it was brought down was in a sefer called Chemtas Hayomim. Who here has heard of the sefer? Okay, very, very interesting. Brought down the sefer Chemtas Hayomim, and the author of the sefer Chemtas Hayomim, it's not so clear who the author is. That's what it says in Pesachim. It's not so clear who the author is. But let me just tell you a little bit more in the time we've got remaining. Chemtas Hayomim, according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, not according to anyone else, but at least according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he claimed that it was written, what is compiled by someone known as possibly worse, Nathan of Gaza. You heard of him? Or Noson Me'azah. He was Shabbosai Tzvi's right hand man. In fact, not only was he Shabbosai Tzvi's right hand man, he was basically the person who convinced Shabbosai Tzvi to be the false Mashiach. He was the person who was very, very much behind him. He was his PR man. He spread all the messages about him. And in fact, even as we know, again, the basic story of Shabbosai Tzvi, I think we know, he was a false Mashiach and eventually actually converted to Islam. And in fact, after he converted to Islam, most sensible people said, whoops, and they moved on. Obviously, they're traumatized, but they moved on. But this person, this Nossan, he said, no, this is all part of it, and he kept on going. Good guy, bad guy, seemingly he'll go down in history as someone who's not necessary to be trusted. And there was and Rabbi Yaakov Emden suspected that this sefer called Chemtas Hayomim was written by this Nathan of Gaza. And there were many that said that the first place that the minhag of saying the David Hashem Oiri was brought down in Chemtas Hayomim, the first time it was mentioned. However, I came across, when I was looking at this a few years ago, I came across a study done by someone called Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lehman, this big historian, who then saw that it was actually brought in Sfarim before Chemtas Hayomim. It was brought in Sfarim before then. And therefore, because of that, it's very, very clear that there's no issues with the minhag, it's a good minhag. And not only that, the sefer Chemtas Hayomim itself has got so many haskamas through big rabbanim over the doors that even if it was from sefer Chemtas Hayomim, it's pretty much a sefer which is oske halton, and therefore there's no problem. And in fact, the things which are said regarding people saying the David Hashem Oiri over Elul and Tishri are amazing. It says that people that say the David Hashem Oiri, then they have a kapara through that, and they receive extra rachamim through that, and taka, which would be zoicha, they would take the messages of Elul. We try and chaparayin the concept of Melech Chassadah. We try and chaparayin the idea of it being a mikvah. And Be'ez Hashem, which we zich, to Kasiv HaChassim HaTov. Amen.
Amen.